Finally, it's Monday again. I'm so happy to be back here. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. It's always great to be back on Mondays. We've got a great Monday for you, but it's just nice to be back in front of the microphone and with you. And as always, we are very grateful that you have joined us here at Catholic Answers Live. Our number today, 888-318-7884. I don't know why I said today. It's our number every day, 888-318-7884. Second hour, Trent's going to be here. For joining us from Texas, so we'll find out how everything is going in Texas, and we'll do answering atheism. So if you are, especially if you are an atheist person, if you don't believe in God, we'd love it if you'd call and talk with us. Anybody can call and talk, but we would love to hear from some atheist folks second hour when Trent Horn is here. First hour, I want to introduce you to a wonderful bishop, and I say wonderful because here at Catholic Answers, we have a certain... I don't know. We just have a certain way we try to do things. And then one day we're reading the newspaper of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, and we're like, that bishop said what we think, but we can never say it as good as he said it. And I want to read you a little bit about what Bishop Donald Hying from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin wrote. He said, the attacks, accusations, and demands fly from every side. You supported Trump in the election and are complicit in the attack on the Capitol. You are in the back pocket of the Democratic Party. You made abortion the only issue in the election. You were not vocal enough in defense of life. You need to help stop the steal. I demand that you affirm Biden as the legitimate president. I am leaving the church because of you, because you're too conservative, liberal, silent, weak, strong. These are all messages I and probably every bishop in the country has been inundated with in these past months, and it's actually getting worse. The anger and vitriol is palpably toxic. Any words of moderation, actions of conciliation, benefit of the doubt given to another point of view, or attempt to find middle ground is dismissed as betrayal and disloyalty to the truth. Man, that is the case, and that is not a description of a full, holy, and healthy Catholic mind. Joining us is the bishop that wrote those words, and we'll share some of the other words in the column. The column is called The Need for Renewed Unity in Christ, Bishop Donald Hying. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's a joy to be with you, Cy. I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you.
How did I do with my dramatic reading of your...
I thought it was great. You put more into it than I ever could have. So I thought it was fantastic.
It strikes me that you have put your finger on something. We've always kind of had, I suppose, as long as we've had the words progressive or liberal and conservative, a kind of are you a progressive Catholic, a liberal Catholic, or a conservative Catholic? But it's worse now.
Yeah, very much so. I think because of the divisions in our politics and in our country, you see those divisions seeping into the church. And it's not to say that we don't need to be very clear on moral issues. And there's things that clearly we need to challenge on. And there's a hierarchy of truths. So all of that is a given. But it doesn't mean that we should stop speaking the truth in charity and truly seeking to be grounded in the Lord Jesus, that the only enemy is the devil. And, you know, we're here to serve and love and lead other people into the truth.
The thing is that you get almost this sense, like, and you captured it, of like you're failing in your Catholic duty if you're not standing up to Trump or if you're not standing up to Biden. And those things are simply not true. And so one of the things you did in this very fine piece that you wrote is you gave us some things we should be doing as Catholics. And I have to say, it just seems to me that a lot of us fall into, and I'm not excluding myself from this because I feel ashamed of myself sometimes because I fall into thinking that I should be doing something other than these things. But you say, let's spend these months leading to Easter in deeper prayer, penance, and almsgiving. Instead of pointing accusatory fingers at others, let's point one at ourselves. Well, is that really enough? You know, I think that's what you'll hear from people. Is that really enough, Bishop? You know, don't we have to be doing something more than that?
I think the response to Christ always starts with our own personal conversion. So I need to be looking intensely at my own conversion before I can look at anyone else and say anything. And many times I felt that, you know, in a meeting or in a conversation, like, no one should be allowed to speak unless they've spent an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament and recently gone to confession. And out of the context of those experiences, you may speak. Because too often what we say is said in anger, it's said in rash judgment, it's said even in hatred at times. And what we lose in that reality is the presence of Christ, you know, who clearly spoke the truth, but always did it in love and charity. So I always say, truth without love becomes harsh, rigid, judgmental. Love without truth becomes vacuous and sentimental. When you put the two together, you have the firepower of the gospel. And so, you know, the church doesn't say to priests, for example, you can't get political from the pulpit just because we're afraid of our tax-exempt status. It's that the church can never be aligned with a political party. So we speak of moral issues, absolutely. When we speak of things that are being done that are wrong, clearly so. But we can never be aligned with a particular party as if that party is somehow the manifestation of the fullness of the truth.
Do you ever feel as a bishop, and I'm going to get into some of the more, you have a whole list of suggestions of what we could be doing as Catholics to address this moment of anger, but do you ever feel as a bishop that sometimes people might be addressing you in a way that's trying to put you in a box, like, well, would you give communion to President Biden, or would you, you know, confront President Trump on the immigration things? Right? Do you ever feel that people are kind of trying to figure out, not whether you're a good Catholic bishop who can, you know, be a spiritual father to your people, but whether you're right on these other things?
Yeah, absolutely. That happens often, especially this past year. You know, the kind of the perfect storm of COVID, you know, the unrest in our cities last summer, and then the election, all of that came together in a very clear way, and in many ways a destructive way. You know, that people are looking, you know, there's these certain questions that are the litmus test. You know, do you fit into this pattern or into that pattern? Yeah, absolutely.
And you just got to, I mean, I suppose in some ways you just have to tolerate it in that. I mean, I do feel like bishops are in a bind often. You know, this is a hypothetical question, for example, about would you give President Biden communion? I mean, I don't know what the likelihood is that he'll be walking into your church at any point, in Madison. But these hypotheticals are almost more important than solid real questions, like, you know, what are you doing about the celebration of liturgy in your diocese? Or it's almost like we're killing each other with hypotheticals.
No, that's true. And, you know, it just seems, you know, when people were asking me to publicly say something about the results of the election, you know, when did I become the political arbiter of election outcomes? I'm a Catholic bishop, you know, and it's clear what my task is, and it's to lead our people to Christ. So there are political implications to the gospel, clearly so, but the gospel itself is not political. But when we live the gospel, it's going to have implications in terms of, you know, how society is ordered and what our laws are, and, you know, contentious issues such as abortion. I mean, the church is stalwart and clear on. But again, how do we live our faith in such a way that, you know, we're inviting other people to see the truth, and beating them over the head with it probably isn't going to do it.
Our number is 888-318-7884. We're willing to try beating people over the head, Bishop, but thus far it has not produced the results we're looking for. 888-318-7884. Bishop Hying has written a wonderful piece on how we can part of building the unity of the body of Christ and renewing ourselves in the unity of the body of Christ rather than tearing the church apart in the way that the world is being torn apart right now. 888-318-7884, the number. Bishop, there's also the question of, you know, I suppose there's the thing, well, we have this gospel message And you might say, we want to share that gospel message, but there's also the question of how you share it. And it's really not open to us, or is it? I'll put that as a question to you, open to us to say, well, you know, this is just how people talk on social media, so I'm going to defend the gospel using the kind of harsh terms and vitriol that's common to Twitter, for example. Or do I need to say, no, if I'm going to be on Twitter, I just can't do those things. It's not just a matter of I have to be sharing the gospel, but it's how I'm sharing the gospel that matters as well.
So that's a wonderful point, Cy. And I would just frame it as a question. When is the last time anyone has changed the opinion of somebody that disagrees with them using a vitriolic, acerbic, nasty way to put it? When has that ever changed somebody's heart where they said, oh, that you're right. You know, I'm going to follow this because you've spoken the truth. So how it's said is essentially part of the gospel message as well. And again, in no way am I advocating watering down the gospel, watering down what the church teaches, but how we frame things to people, you know, is it invitational or is it immediately condemnatory? Is it a way to invite people to step into the mystery of Christ and see things clearly from that optic? Or is it simply, you know, here's the commandments, just go follow those? So, I mean, Pope Francis did not invent accompaniment. Any good priest has been doing accompaniment his entire priesthood. So the process of conversion for many people is a slow one and sometimes a labyrinthine one. It doesn't always go in a straight line. And you know, how do we gently but firmly lead people into the fullness of the truth? And today there just seems at times a harshness, you know, on both ends of the spectrum, you know, regarding, you know, what orthodoxy is. But again, orthodoxy shorn of true charity is not the fullness of what Christ intends for us.
No, there's such a thing as nasty orthodoxy, where we're playing the I'm more orthodox than you game instead of playing the let's together become closer to Christ game. That's not an argument against orthodoxy, just against a certain way of presenting it. The need for a renewed unity in Christ is the name of Bishop Donald Hyings' column in his own diocesan newspaper's column that caught all of our attention here at Catholic Answers. Bishop Hyings is the bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. You're welcome to call with your questions about the need for renewing unity in Christ, especially during this Lenten season. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. I see almost every line full already, so we'll come back with questions for Bishop Hyings right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Catholic Answers Focus is the podcast for living, understanding, and defending your Catholic faith, and you're not going to want to miss it this week. We've got our friend Monica Dumit from Australia to talk about what's happening with confession and how governments are infringing on the right to confession around the world. And we've also got Chris Check, the first part of a three-part series on the Inquisition. CatholicAnswersFocus.com is where you can find us, or find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or just watch us on YouTube, CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Exciting news if you like MP3s. MP3 Mondays are back. I hope that does excite you. I'm not sure that it would excite most people, but it is a good deal because we've got 140 different MP3s here on all different topics, and they're on sale on Mondays right now, $1, $3, $5. There's not a single one of our MP3s that's over $5 right now. Great stuff to listen to for Lent, too, from Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, our own Chris Check, many more. Lots of wonderful MP3s you can listen to and become more deeply acquainted with your faith and how to defend it. MP3 Monday over at shop.catholic.com. Our guest this hour is the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin. He's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. His name is Bishop Donald Hying, and he wrote a wonderful column that excited all of us here at Catholic Answers, the need for renewed unity in Christ. Actually, we were happy to get it, but I have to say I was shamed by a little bit of it too, because I'm not always nice on Twitter. I wish I was always nice on Twitter, but sometimes I push send or whatever the button is, or tweet, I guess, before I fully think it through. So the bishop has wonderful suggestions for building up the unity of the church rather than attacking one another during Lent. It doesn't mean, as the bishop has repeatedly said here during our time together right now, it doesn't mean going easy on tough issues. But it does mean being humane in our treatment of one another and being more deeply connected to the love of Jesus Christ to be able to share it. Our number is 888-318-7884. Bishop, as I said, all the lines are full. You ready to go to the phones?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Let's start in Houston, Texas. Susan in Houston, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Hying, Susan.
Yes, thank you, Bishop. I have a teenage daughter that is very active in her public speaking classes and political classes at school, and she's having a very hard time understanding how President Biden can profess to be such a good Catholic and then be supportive of abortion. So now she's coming to me with these kinds of questions with her girlfriends, and I'm having a hard time explaining it myself, so I need a little help.
Yeah, it's clearly he sees Catholicism differently than you and I do. You know, he kind of takes the classic Catholic politician's response of saying, I'm personally against it, but I'm not going to impose it on anyone. So my answer would be, in that regard, President Biden, you know, needs a conversion of heart and mind to the full truth of human life, you know, and we pray for that. You know, he's certainly a good, sincere man in many ways, and we pray for him as our president. But when it comes to something as central as, you know, protecting human life in the womb, that is such a paramount issue for us in terms of a culture of life and a civilization of love, that, and on this matter, he's completely wrong, and we need to consistently challenge that. So it means that there are Catholics out there who are either poorly formed or don't have a properly formed conscience, or are just directly going against what they know to be true for political gain. I can't judge his conscience or his intentions, certainly. But clearly on this issue, he's completely wrong and needs to be called out on it.
If I may, Susan, I'll let you come back with a follow-up for Bishop, but I have a follow-up. Is this a thing that you bishops have to discuss with one another? I mean, it does seem, from those of us who are not members of the episcopacy, it looks like there's not a general agreement. It looks like some bishops are saying, come on, we have our second Catholic bishop, and he's pro-abortion. Mm-hmm. Of course you cannot give him communion. And then you have other bishops saying, well, mm-hmm. let's not weaponize the Eucharist. Is this something you all are discussing with each other?
It will certainly come up at our next meeting. I would say most bishops are in line with saying that because President Biden claims Catholicism, goes to Mass, and is public about his faith, it's a unique situation because we clearly don't want people to be confused or for scandal to be given that his view on abortion is acceptable with being Catholic because it isn't. So there may be differences in approach on the communion question, but I think every bishop in the country would say, you know, clearly he's wrong on this issue and needs to be challenged on it.
Susan, did you have a follow-up for Bishop Hying?
Well, yeah. How do I explain to my daughter that it's okay when he goes and takes communion and that a priest is giving it to him? I'm confused.
Well,
too,
I would say...
I'm sure...
Go ahead, Bishop.
I'm sorry, Susan.
Susan, you were saying...
I would say...
Go ahead, Bishop. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I think many bishops would be clear that he shouldn't be given communion, you know, but ultimately it's the Archbishop of Washington where President Biden is living, you know, and the procedure would be to attempt to have private conversations to form a conscience and a heart, you know, towards the truth, but that if someone remains publicly persistent in such a stance that, you know, communion is a sign of our unity and the source of our unity in the faith. And if someone is that publicly disunited with the church on this key issue, you know, communion could be certainly legitimately withheld.
Susan, I'm so impressed with your call, especially your sense that you have this daughter who's pro-life and she has these friends. I would love to send you a copy of Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, for your daughter as a gift from us, just to encourage her in her pro-life efforts. But God bless you as a mom, and thank you. I hope that with the follow-up that was satisfactory, but I have a lot of folks on the line, so I'm going to keep going. But you hang on the line, and Marie will get your information if you'd like a copy for your daughter of Persuasive Pro-Life. Our number is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Bishop Donald Hying, the Bishop of Madison, Wisconsin, who we asked to come on to talk about a piece that he wrote, The Need for Renewed Unity in Christ, which is about how, really, I mean, it's not, to use my word, not his, it almost seems that there's an infection in the church of secular ways of relating to one another rather than loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And he gives us a little recipe about how we can do better about that throughout Lent. Lots of folks on the line, however, so I'm going to keep going to the phones. Let's go to Anthony in St. Louis, Missouri. Anthony, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Hying.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was just listening. Sounds like there's a daughter. In this scenario, it's a son. So I've got a one-year-old boy, and I keep thinking about how I'm going to move him forward in the current culture. And I know when I grew up, things seemed to be a lot more common with our faith and principles in the culture. But
yeah,
there's some hot-button issues right now that I'm struggling with as I think about just common how to raise my son. And I know it's of being of the world and not being in the world, not of the world. But I'm kind of trying to figure out how to put that to practice as it relates to forming my son. Any advice on that?
Anthony, I would say your influence as a father and a practicing Catholic is going to be the biggest influence on your son's life. So as he grows up, to see your example of practicing the faith, of participating in the sacraments, of praying at home, of being, you know, strong in inculcating virtue in him, you know, my father had a big impact on my life in terms of my priesthood. And statistics would show that if a boy or girl's father is involved in the church and has a good relationship with them, their chances of remaining in the church well into their 20s and 30s is about 500% greater. So your role as father is key and elemental. And I think simply practicing the faith in a way that your son will see this is life, this is truth, this is goodness. You're going to form him to be a faithful disciple of the Lord himself. So your role is key, and it's just doing the simple components of living the Catholic life.
What do you think, Anthony?
I think that's a great response, and I just think that I think, you know, we're all talking about our kids, but I think we're also being people in this world, and we're also still trying to figure out how to engage in our day-to-day. And that's going to be the tough part for me, I guess. But at the end of the day, I appreciate the sentiment.
Well, there is not a lot of that support that, like, even my parents in the 60s and 70s would have had some support in the culture for the things they were teaching. It just seems like it's all evaporated, Anthony. So it is down to you as the dad. I'll tell you what, because you said your son is a one-year-old, we have a wonderful book that one-year-olds really enjoy. It's called Answering Atheism. If you hang on the line, they do, Nick. One-year-olds love this book. It's very popular with one-year-olds. It's all the arguments for the existence of God, and one-year-olds just grasp them. They just get them right away. So hang on, Anthony, if you want to get a copy of Answering Atheism, Trent Horn's great book. Or, I don't know, maybe we got something else. Do we have a matchbox car we can send? We don't have a lot of stuff for one-year-olds around here. Bishop Donald Hying is our guest, and he wrote a very fine piece in the newspaper of his diocese, the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, about, well, being better Catholics for Lent. We'll talk more about that right after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, second hour. Maybe Anthony's one-year-old son will call with a question. It's Answering Atheism, second hour with Trent Horn. He'll be here this hour. We're very delighted and pleased to be able to welcome Bishop Donald Hying, who's the bishop of the Archdiocese of Madison, the Diocese of Madison in Wisconsin. And he wrote a piece that I found very impressing. I hope you will, too, if you look it up. It's called The Need for a Renewed Unity in Christ, and you can find it at the website of the newspaper of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin. And it's a little bit bracing in this sense, Bishop. I guess we all fall into identifying each other by political categories and demanding that each of us be more politically pure. But that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is not a political category.
Absolutely, it's a spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, the promise of salvation, all of that is a supernatural spiritual gift to us, offered to us by the Father. And how we live that out in this world, as I said before, is going to have political, cultural, economic implications as we seek the common good and to build a society where every single person is received, loved, respected, and able to flourish as a child of God. I mean, that's the church's goal, and you see it in the beauty of our moral teaching and in the power of our social teaching, that if we just would follow those principles, we could build a just and humane society. Yeah. Will it ever be perfect this side of heaven? No. But the values of the gospel can be translated into political and economic action that truly builds people up.
I do think sometimes we entertain, and I have, it must admit, I have on many occasions entertained a kind of fantasy of the church of being more purified of all of these politically, unacceptable people, so that we're down to a remnant sort of people who are you know, and I think that there's a certain violence in that fantasy, and that we don't want to be in communion with people who disagree with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there room in the church for sinners? Obviously, because, you know, all of us are sinners. Do all of us completely live the faith? No. Are there people that have serious questions about parts of the faith but still seek to practice? Yes. Yeah, I think the question becomes when people seriously part from church teaching, and again, I'm looking at leaders in a public way, you know, that certainly needs to be challenged. But you know, all of us need ongoing prayer, formation, catechesis. I always liken Catholicism to a 500-room palace. It's so rich and deep. Yeah. And in my lifetime, maybe I'll get into 22 of those rooms. But, you know, all of us are bound in the mystical body of Christ. You know, the church is holy because of Christ, but the church is composed of sinners because we're in it. But sinners working to become saints.
Bishop Donald Hying, our guest. Up next, Kurt from Boston, Massachusetts, listening on 1060 AM, the Station of the Cross. Kurt, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Hying.
Thank you very much. I just picked up on your conversation about what do you think is dividing us as Catholics, and you're saying sometimes it's along party lines. I basically, I came into the church in 92. I'm in my early 60s, but I take the whole doctrine of the church, because we can't deny anything of it. But like when people ask, should Joe Biden receive communion? Now, I understand, you know, when people who sin, their sin is against God and God alone, because you only sin against God. But my question is, when you make it public and then people see the example, and then people see, they knowingly know that this person is against the non-negotiables, and yet he's receiving communion. I've also heard you have to protect the sacrament from profanation, just like you wouldn't want someone to trample on it or do anything else that's profane. Mm-hmm. So my point would be this. I mean, we talk about politics. Even in our Lord's day, there was politics. Let's face it. Pilate was the first politician, and he backed out because he was afraid of the people. So my point today is there's a lot of secularism in academia. When we used to have a lot of good Catholic schools that were infiltrated with secularism, humanism, even communism, which we know is against the church. So I think when living the faith, we're going to have this on both sides. I think our Catholicism should dictate our politics, not our politics dictating our Catholicism.
All right, Kurt, I'm going to let the bishop respond, and then we'll come back to you. Bishop, did you want to respond to what Kurt said?
Yeah, Kurt, that's exactly right. I mean, we should be Catholics first, Americans second, and if at all, political party third. And oftentimes those can get flipped. So what you said is exactly right. And the canon law related to reception of communion or denial of communion is to protect the sacrament, and it's also an act of charity towards the person in question. So when we speak the truth to someone who's resistant to it, we're doing it out of love for them and out of love for the truth. So it's not punitive. It's not punishment. It's done out of charity for correcting someone that's in error. And when you love somebody, you tell them the truth. So part of loving people is speaking the truth to them, even when they don't want to hear it. So I agree with everything you said.
Kurt, did you want to follow up with anything else?
Yes, and I can honestly say, since I've come into the church, you know, I hear, oh, you converts are the worst type of Catholics. You actually believe it. But, you know, I myself try to go to confession at least twice a month. You know, I'm raising my grandson, and I tell him all these things, you know. And I say, look, I say to him, know the truth. You might be the only one who knows it, and everyone else doesn't. I said, just remember, the truth isn't something, it's somebody. And, yes, we are a church full of sinners, but just like a hospital. You go to the hospital to be cured of your illness, just like the leper gets cured of his leprosy. And sin is spiritual leprosy. And you can see it in the world today between abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, all these things. Now, do I mean you condemn these people? No. But I always tell people, and I know people who are this, I say sin starts in the mind. The battle starts in the mind. But yet we have psychiatrists and psychologists that who are totally secular humanists, and they go against this, you know?
Kurt, Bishop, I do want to make this conversation. So did you want to address any of what Kurt just said?
Yeah, just thanks for coming into the church, Kurt. And right, any truth or any effort to relate to people that somehow doesn't have a spiritual component to it is not going to be complete, right? So any counseling, any psychology, anything that doesn't acknowledge the inherent spirituality of life is going to fall short. So agreed.
Kurt, thank you very much. It's very hard for me, Bishop, to cut off anybody who has such a beautiful Boston accent. It's the most civilized accent in the world, and it's very hard for me to cut off anybody with a Boston accent. Thanks, Kurt. I hope you'll call again. Kurt raised a question, and I noticed that some others on social media are raising it too. For a bishop, the sexual revolution stuff. Not abortion, I mean, but things like the growing kind of ideology of transgenderism and whatnot. These seem like, in some ways, existential threats to Catholic schools, for example, or Catholic hospitals, who might have to say, no, we're not going along with these. As a bishop, I'll be frank, we've spoken about President Biden on the abortion issue, which clearly he's wrong on and he needs to be corrected on. But he also seems to be kind of accepting of this transgender ideology, and what's the role of a bishop in correcting that when we Catholics head down the wrong road on those?
Yeah, I think all of those issues really come under the aegis of religious freedom. So it's really, you know, you speak, Cy, of, you know, our institutions perhaps being under threat, you know, because of some of these ideologies. And religious freedom really asserts that we have the right to live our faith in the public square. We have a right to run our institutions dictated by our teachings, and we have the right to follow our conscience. And many times today, people are collapsing religious liberty into freedom of worship, and they're not the same thing. I mean, part of religious freedom is freedom of worship, but it's not the only thing. So it's as if they're saying, we don't care what you do in your buildings on Sunday morning, but you can't bring your teachings, your values, your conscience into the public square. You know, so when it comes to things like our schools, our hospitals, adoption agencies, Catholic charities, you know, we would always insist on, you know, First Amendment right, that we cannot be required to violate our conscience or to run our institutions that are in violation of church teaching. So really the paramount issue here is really religious liberty. And we need to firmly, lovingly, but firmly continue to assert that.
Bishop Donald Hying is our guest. I want to recommend to you again The Need for a Renewed Unity in Christ. I think you will find it a strong, vigorous defense of actually living the gospel and not being torn apart by other things and allowing other Catholics to live the gospel, even when they might disagree with us about things. You can find it in the newspaper of the Diocese of Madison, where Bishop Hying is the bishop. We have to take another break. We'll come back with more calls for Bishop Donald Hying right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He is honored by the Church as a saint, with the title of the Seraphic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
One of the greatest theologians and Franciscan mystics in church history, Bonaventure also wrote a biography of St. Francis that was commissioned by the Franciscans themselves. It took a saint and true mystic to understand a true saint and mystic. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, and still not banned from Twitter. I write these things that I think I'm going to get banned for because I know other Catholics have gotten banned for them, but thus far I haven't gotten banned from Twitter, so maybe I'm not a good enough Catholic yet. I got to keep working on that. But one of the ways we can deal with all that social media stuff is to remind ourselves that that's not actually the center of the universe. The center of the universe is Christ Himself, and growing closer to Christ and helping other people to grow closer to Christ is our mission in this world. 888-318-7884 is our number. And our guest is Bishop Donald Hying from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, who wrote a very fine piece called The Need for a Renewed Unity in Christ. It is tough times, Bishop, because all these horrible moral outrages are taking place all around us. And I know that people really want bishops who are firm in speaking out against these moral outrages, but we also can't, we don't want to destroy, like, as you said, the inviting nature of the church. Come to Christ. He really wants to heal everybody and wants to love everyone. You're in a tough spot, I think, Bishop.
Mm-hmm. When someone asks, for example, you know, why is the church against same-sex unions? What I want to say is, do you have about 3 hours?
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a while to explain, you know, our Christian anthropology, our understanding of the human person, you know, the meaning of human sexuality, the intention of God in terms of the complementarity of the sexes, all of that. But you don't have 3 hours to explain it. So oftentimes, you know, answers to things end up becoming sound bites that don't really gets to the depth of the issue in terms of truly catechizing people. And so how do we enter into a relationship with people that may disagree with the church in such a way that we can lead them to understand the why of the church's teaching, not just the what, but the why? And so often, especially for younger people, you know, that's what they're looking for. It's like, I know the church says this, why does she say this? And what does this mean? So there's many challenging issues today, and I think it's because we've moved to a place where many people just see human nature as malleable, as plastic, you know, that we can kind of just make all of these infinite choices about who we are, you know, when it comes to gender or, you know, all sorts of things. And from our Catholic stance, it's really the opposite, that life comes to us as a received gift. You know, we don't make it up. God makes us up. And there's an objectivity to reality that we can't simply adapt to our own purposes or desires.
Al's in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, listening on EWTN.com. Al, delighted to have you. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Donald Hying.
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me okay?
So you sound great. You sound like you're in the studio with me. I wish everybody sounded like this.
Well, hey, great. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to be brief here. I'll make a comment, then I'll pose the question, and then I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you. So real quick, I saw this in the news here recently. This was apparently there's you know, in Missouri, I think it's St. Louis, there's a Catholic school there. It's called, I think, Villa Duchesne Catholic School in Missouri. something about how a girl there was accused of being racist or something towards some other students. And it's a private Catholic school, apparently. Essentially, there's these issues with, like previous callers have mentioned, you know, like the Marxist notions and this critical race theory stuff. So I'm just wondering, can Bishop talk about or say, like, you know, what is critical race theory and what are the Marxist origins of this? Should Catholic schools be you know, teaching this and kind of having this in Catholic schools? And how can we get this infiltration of Marxist topics out of our Catholic schools? So I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you. I'm a faithful Catholic. Thank you for addressing this. And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
That was a very well-organized call. Bishop?
Yeah, I would say when it comes to, you know, questions of racism and race, you know, the Catholic Church is the most universal enculturated institution on the planet. And, you know, how we view the human person is through the lens of Genesis, where a man and a woman are created in the image and likeness of God, so that there is an equality among us. We are equally loved. You know, every person has an inherent dignity. That's the stance of the church. Things like critical race theory really set up in a dialectic or an oppositional stance, you know, that is certainly not the value or the goal of the church. And what we're looking for is a unity, communion, brothers and sisters living bound together in Christ, where our cultural and racial diversity is a gift from the Lord and it's something to be cherished. But the commonality for all of us is the faith and our union in Christ. And Marxism always adopts the dialectic of opposition, and therefore it can never get us to where we need to go or even properly diagnose the problem of racism.
I can't go back to Al because he dropped, but that had not occurred to me, Bishop. But there is this in Marxism, this idea of the dialectic and the class struggle is at the root of everything. And then if we say class struggle or racial struggle or struggle between the sexes is at the root of something, that's fundamental. And all of those are fundamentally not compatible with the gospel that says our struggle is not against other human beings.
Right. It's setting us up in opposition to each other instead of in opposition to evil and more profoundly for the Lord, you know, for our union in Christ. Yeah, exactly. So it ultimately is divisive and is never going to heal us or bring us to where we need to be, because there's always an enemy. There's always somebody that's against us or that somehow needs to be changed.
Right.
So until we come to a point of conversion and see everyone as my brother, my sister, there's someone that I'm called to love and to recognize the image of God in. I mean, that's the only ground that can have all of us stand together. And only the love of God can heal, you know, the divisions among us.
That, you know, it strikes me, though, that I have noticed this in myself at times in my life. You know, you're engaged in the pro-life struggle for I don't know how many decades, but of being on the pro-life side. And you can easily fall into this idea that if we can defeat the abortion industry, or we can defeat the people who sell abortion and lie about abortion in the media, and if we can overturn Roe versus Wade, somehow we've done our duty as Christians, but we've hardly even begun to do those victories would be nothing compared to the victory we're seeking as Christians.
Yeah, those are victories and would be victories, and we need to strive for those things, and I strive for those things. But even more deeper than that is the transformation of the human heart.
Yeah.
You know, where people can see the dignity of life, and perhaps it begins seeing the dignity of their own life. You know, maybe that's part of the problem, is that they don't recognize their own dignity as a child of God. So they're blinded to seeing it in an unborn child or a homeless person or anyone, really, right?
Right. Let's go to Paul in Gilbert, Arizona, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Paul, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Donald Hine.
Yeah, I was curious about the priest being married, where I understand a lot of the early Catholic priests were allowed to be married. Jesus never said that priests shouldn't be married, and given the current state of priest shortage this day and age, you see the likelihood. I know we're allowing Episcopalian priests who are married into the Catholic Church, the likelihood of that coming to fruition. I think it would solve some of the priest shortage issues, and given that Jesus never banned that from the church at its inception.
All right, so Bishop, what about married priests?
Yeah, that's a valid question. You know, clearly in the early centuries, priests were married. I mean, clearly many of the apostles were married. But it didn't take too many centuries before the church moved towards a stance of celibacy for its priests. And when we think about it, you know, Jesus Christ himself was celibate. You know, there's both spiritual and practical reasons for the celibacy of priests. And you know, you can argue it, well, we'd have more priests if we allowed them to be married. We would for a while, but when you look at Protestant churches that have married clergy, they struggle with numbers as well. And more than one Protestant minister has said to me, you know, if you change the rule on celibacy, you'd have an increase in numbers for a while, but after the novelty of that wore off, it wouldn't necessarily resolve the challenge or the problem. So I'm a big advocate for priestly celibacy. You know, when we look at, you know, the priest in persona Christi and just being bound to the church. And also, for me, celibacy means that I have a heart to love everyone, no one exclusively, but everyone in terms of you know, the eyes of Christ. So celibacy is complementary to marriage, and I wouldn't want to see it go away for our priests.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the call. Bishop Donald Hine is our guest. We're talking about his column recently published in the newspaper of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, where he is bishop, The Need for a Renewed Unity in Christ. I got the sense reading the piece, Bishop, that and I suppose this comes from being a bishop, you know, where you're in parishes week after week and all that. But it seemed to me that there was some love in here for just the everyday Catholic who's just trying to figure out, how do I be Catholic now in this postmodern world? A real love for that person, not to... Mm-hmm. Did I get the right sense there that that's what you're getting at, is that there is this kind of just normal Catholic who's trying to figure it out, and we need to be helpful to that Catholic without tearing the church apart?
Yeah, no, but very much so. Exactly. And again, you know, to drop the political labels, to be radically grounded in Christ, to participate in Mass every Sunday and Holy Day minimally, to go to confession regularly, to pray every day, to study the faith, to be a disciple, to be involved in the parish. I mean, that's the ground of everything. And it's from that we can speak with both authority, authenticity, and integrity to the moral issues around us. Otherwise, it becomes an ideological fight. But if it's grounded in Christ and the practice of the faith, then what we say will be fruitful because it'll be rooted in both truth and love.
And you say in there, stop watching so much news and start reading the good news. So a little Bible reading won't hurt either.
Right. No, that's right.
Bishop Donald Hine is our guest, has been our guest this hour. And next hour, Trent's going to be here, and we're going to do Answering Atheism. And I really do want to extend the invitation to any atheist person. We love talking about God. We believe in God. We don't try to hide that, but we love talking to you about your questions about God. If you are an atheist person, next hour is directed at you, 888-318-7884. Bishop Donald Hine has been our guest. Bishop Hine, may we have your blessing before we go.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you pour forth the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, upon us, that we may be disciples of his gospel and live his truth and joy and charity, and sustain us in our witness to the faith in this often challenging world. And we ask this, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Bishop Hyang. I hope we'll get to talk again.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Si. God bless. Bye-bye.
Right back with Trent right after this.